Turn with me, please, to the book of John, 3 John, rather. 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John. 3 John. Chapter 1 and verse 2. Hope everybody's there now. Nowadays, our Bibles are on the phone, so it's easy to get it. You don't even have to know the Bible. You just type, it comes out. That's why you should have an original Bible, so we can know whether you really know the Bible or not. You know, because if you have the original Bible, you know, hard copy, you know. If I said 3 John, if you would not impress me like you did this morning, you have to look and know exactly where it is. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. Beloved, I like beloved rather than beloved. All right, so let me read it the way I like it. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. I'll read just a few, then I'll continue reading more verses while you're seated. But let me read like three of them while you're standing. Genesis chapter 2, from verse 10 to 12. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which cuts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delam and onyx stones are there. Let me read the last one, then I'll continue reading verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 8, 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Let me read this again. And you shall remember the Lord your God. And the reason why he tells you should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You may be seated. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. I'm reading many verses so that when I begin to teach, you'll not have an issue. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Please move fast. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Psalm 35 and verse 27. If you're writing these verses, it will be helpful. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 19. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. It is the gift of God for God to give you riches and to give you wealth, but beyond that, for you to be able to enjoy, eat your riches. It is more of the gift that God gives to his people, because to be honest with you, there's no point of God giving you riches and wealth, but you cannot eat. There's no point of God blessing you with food, but you have no appetite. There's no need for God to give you food, but you have got so many restrictions of what you can eat and what you cannot eat. But the Bible teaches us that if God blesses you with riches and wealth and the gift to be able to eat, then you should know that God is the one who has blessed you. Allow me, church, this morning, by the grace of God, to teach on the subject that I have entitled, It is God's Will for His People to Prosper. It is God's will. It is God's will for you to prosper. Look at your neighbor this morning, straight into the eye, shake their hands, give them a high five, and tell them it is God's will for you to prosper. God wants you to prosper. Hallelujah. I thought I would hear a bigger amen. Maybe I should have said, God wants you to be poor. God wants you to prosper. One of the most controversial subjects, misunderstood subjects in the Church of Jesus Christ. The church itself does not know head from tail, has fought itself as far as this subject is concerned. I took my time this morning to read quite a number of scriptures and verses so that by the time I'm beginning to speak, open my mouth to address this subject, at least you're a bit convinced that the Bible also has no problem with prosperity. And that God wants you to prosper. And I can show you from scripture that poverty is actually a curse. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, you see that God says those guys who don't obey his will, people who don't follow his commandments, they will constantly be in lack. And there's nothing that glorifies God in lack. I want to repeat that. There is nothing that glorifies God in lack. God is not glorified when not able to pay your fees. God is not glorified when not able to buy a house or pay your rent. God is not glorified when you are constantly in debt and begging. God is not glorified in that. The Bible tells us that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Allow me this morning then to give you reasons why God will take pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Number one, God wants you to prosper. Psalm 35 and verse 27 says, "Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I'm so happy about this verse because God is not jealous about you. Oh, can you say amen? God is not going to be intimidated because you're prospering. God is not like your, I don't know. I was going to say, you know, I don't know why people in Gilead in-laws too much. God is not like those fake friends who claim they love you, who celebrate, they claim they celebrate you, but they're jealous of you. God is not even like your family members who are not happy when things are going right with you. Now you're looking like at me like you don't have some people in your family who don't like it when you're doing well. But believe you me, keep on living, you will discover there are some people, even within your family, when God is blessing you and prospering you, they won't be happy with you. They won't celebrate you. They'll tolerate you. But God says he has pleasure, meaning that when God begins to bless you and to prosper you, God is clapping and saying, go, 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 go. Keep on doing it. Keep on going. Keep on prospering. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. That means that I should be the first one to give myself permission to prosper. I should never, ever give regrets, be apologetic about the prosperity that God gives me. Oh my God, do I have some people in the church this morning? I should never be apologetic of the car that I'm driving. I should never be apologetic of the house that I'm living in. I should never be apologetic of the money that God has given to me. I should be the first one to give myself permission to prosper. And so help me this morning and tell your neighbor, give yourself permission today to prosper. You see, we come from different backgrounds. And some of the backgrounds, actually most of the backgrounds that we come from, are backgrounds that are actually poverty-oriented. Most of the backgrounds we come from do not really, really celebrate prosperity as it should. And so we are like black crabs that when one begins to come up, we do everything to bring them down. And so the first point that I want you to have is that God, number one, he himself is taking pleasure in your prosperity. You can fight with the scripture if you want, but that is Psalm 35 and verse 27. I want to tell you another scripture, Psalm 115 verse 14. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. That is Psalm 15 and verse 14. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children, meaning that the prosperity and the blessing and the increase that God gives you goes beyond you. Number two, scripture says that Jesus Christ came to give us life and life in abundance. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The Bible says a thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But it says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Abundance is your portion as a child of God. Now, I want some people to be in the spirit this morning. Amen? Because as I'm preaching, I'm prophesying to you. Abundance is your portion as a child of God. Now, I was thinking about abundance, and I was thinking how to demonstrate abundance. And I was thinking the only way to demonstrate about abundance is to get a glass of water and show you and maybe ask you questions, and you can answer me. Please bring me that glass. Because maybe this will stick with you. Is this abundance? What is this? Half full. You see, somebody saying half full. Somebody saying half empty, depending with you. Whether you're optimistic or pessimistic, that is a test that I was giving some of you guys. Half full, some people say half full, others will say half empty. You know, and that will tell you how you think, you know. But anyways, that's a subject for another day. Amen. Come and get this glass for me. So this glass, may I belong to the half full guys. Half full guys, meaning that you're optimistic, you're not pessimistic. Pessimists will say it is half empty because they never see anything good in anything. Please bring it here. So, when God talks, he has come to give you life. All right? So, what is that? That is full, is it? You can call it, in another word, abundance. All right? More in abundance means that it goes out. More abundantly. Jesus Christ says that he has come to give you not just this kind of life that is just enough for you. He says that he comes to give you more. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to be reminded that God came to give you more abundantly, more abundantly. Read your Bible, and if you don't know the meaning of words, look for them. Thank you so much. Look for the meaning so that you can be able to understand what you are called to and what you belong to and what you registered for, so that when you change your mind, because, oh my God, if you get your mind transformed, you get to know his perfect will. And you will walk in abundance. I believe from today you're beginning to walk in abundance. More abundantly. More abundantly. So God says, I came so that I can give you life in abundance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Today I'm going to give you a lot of verses, by the way. A lot of verses. So that you can leave here convinced that God wants you to prosper. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was what? How rich was Jesus Christ? How rich was God? Heaven and earth belongs to him. Earth is his footstool. A cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Though he was rich, silver and gold belongs to him. How rich was God? Yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become what? Oh, come on. Are you reading it? That you through his poverty might become what? That you through his poverty. This scripture is so powerful that if you just got it, it will revolutionize your thinking. That you through his poverty might become rich. Thirdly, why does God want you to prosper? God wants you to be blessed financially, to prosper, so that you can finance the gospel and establish his covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. By the time you finish this class, let me call it class, you will sign a divorce with poverty. Can you shout a bigger amen? I repeat, by the time you finish, this is a class, you will hate poverty. Prosperity will chase you after this service. Can you shout a bigger amen? And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. There is a covenant that God has made with his people, which cannot be established with poverty. There is a covenant that God has made with his people that will need for you to be blessed. There is no way we are spreading the gospel without spending money. There is no way we are feeding the people without money. There is no way we are going to be on TV without money. There is no way we are going to be on radio without money. There is no way we are going to have staff that we cannot pay. There is a covenant. There is no way we'll go to the ends of the world if we don't have money. God has to bless you so that he can establish his covenant with us. The gospel is free, but it is expensive. So he says he has to bless you. Listen to me. God has to bless you so that he can establish his covenant, which he swore to our fathers. Amen. So God says, there are things he has to do. Number one, God has to give you his all so that you can be your all. All right? Secondly, the power to produce wealth is a gift from God. He has endowed you with the seeds of greatness. He has given us the mind of Christ. You have the seeds of greatness. Look at somebody and say, you have the seeds of greatness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. No one should be a failure. I thought you should say amen. What is wrong with you? I said, no one should be a failure. Let me repeat that again. No one should be a failure. Amen. You will make it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give me my verse, please? The person on the computer. 1 Corinthians 2:16. You're a bit slow. I want to cover some ground here. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Those are the seeds of greatness that God has planted in you. You have to make it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, can you shout a better amen? I said you have to make it in Jesus' name. Amen. How can you fail with the mind of Christ? How can you be a flop with the mind of Christ? Are you joking? You have the mind of Christ. He says, who can instruct? Who can instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God has to bless you. And he blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. God has to bless you. Can I go to number four? Let me go to number four. The reason why God has to bless you and prosper you is so that you can honor him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Let us read this together. Can we? Not a lot of you are writing. It says, honor the Lord with your... Let's read again. Honor the Lord and with the... Of... How do you honor the Lord with nothing? How do you honor the Lord with empty hands? God has to bless you so that you can honor him with your possessions. You cannot honor the Lord with zero. According to scriptures, God blesses you. And when God blesses you, you come to God and say, God, thank you for your blessings over my life. I'm honoring you with what you have given me because I cannot give what has not been given to me. Everything you give, God has given to you in the first place. That's why I tell people boldly, if you think God has not given it to you, please don't bring it. But if you know God blessed you, you can say, I honor my God. So God has to bless you. Somebody say that, God has to bless me. Can you shout, God has to bless me so that I can honor him with my possessions. So God has to bless you, whether you like it or not. Can you shout amen? Kweli nyua Kenya mnafundishago vitu marangapi. Say amen. You have to be blessed, my friend. So that when you walk in that door, you come not just to honor God with the fruit of your lips, but you also honor him with your possessions. Before, they would bring cattle and goats, turtle doves. They will bring gold and silver. Today, our gold and silver is in our pockets. Today, our cows and our goats are in our pockets. So we come and we honor the Lord. And when you leave church, you can say, I was in church because I worshiped God. I gave my tithe. I honored God with my offerings. And worship is complete. You cannot honor God with nothing. God has to bless you so that you can honor him with your possessions. This is a teaching, eh? God has to bless you. God has to bless you. God wants to bless you so that you can consider to tithe. The Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. He says, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The emphasis here is bring all the tithe, not some tithe. Bring all the tithe. Is that what is written, by the way? Because some people think you can bring 2%. Some think can bring 3%. Some people bring 5% and think you have tithed. You have not tithed. You don't worship God according to your own standards. It says, bring all the tithe. The tithe is 10%, just in case you don't know. Not 3%. It's not splitting it between the church and your in-laws. It is 10%. If it is not 10%, the Bible says you're robbing God. He says, test me in this and see if I don't open the heavens itself to you and pour out a blessing your wildest dreams cannot contain. Every time you bring your tithe, you're saying, God, in obedience, I'm giving you what you have said. I'm left to the 90. And I'm left with you to defend me from the devourer and from the enemy, from taking my money and poking holes in my pocket. When you don't give your 10%, God says you're on your own, and he says the devourer will be on your case. That's what the scripture says. But he says when you give your 10%, he will defend you. He will protect you from the devourer. From the devourer. There will be a hedge around you. When I talk about you, I'm talking about you and your business, your family, your children. There'll be a hedge. When you don't do that, then there will no be hedge. You'll be on your own. And I tell you, it's expensive. More than 10%. It's more expensive than 10%. I don't want to belabor that. God must bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, God must bless you. God will bless you so that he can enable us to exercise the pure, unblemished worship and religion. James chapter 1 and verse 27. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure. Now this, every Christian should know this verse. Every Christian should know this verse. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. How on earth are we going to exercise, practice pure and undefiled religion if we cannot take care of the orphans and the widows? Taking care of the orphans and the widows, the Bible says that is pure and undefiled religion before who? Before who? Before who? So what are you doing? Is your religion pure and undefiled according to scripture? Or you just, you know, Sunday, let's go. You don't care about orphans. You don't care about widows. You don't care about nothing. This is a verse that should describe us. By taking care of orphans and widows, this is a verse that should characterize us. If we don't do this, we're wasting our time. You're wasting our time. I was poor and you did not feed me. Hungry. I was in prison. You did not visit me. Religion is practical. Religion is practical. It's not talk, 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 talk. We have to reach out and be the pure and undefiled religion. I wish I could put a sign out there. House of Grace, pure and undefiled religion place. I wish I could do that. Because that's what God would want us to do and to practice. Otherwise, we are not in it. God has to bless you so you can do this thing. Somebody say amen. The widows, the orphans, who's looking for them? Who's taking care of them? Yet you're coming to church saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But there's nothing we are doing to touch lives that touch God. Are you aware that God said he's the husband to the widow? Are you aware that God says I'm the father to the fatherless? That's why God says, pure, non-defiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit. And you're not going to visit them empty-handed. You visit them with something. So God has to bless you. Hello? See, I said God has to bless you. So you can be able to do this kind of ministry. Can't do that ministry. I just said, yeah, bring the food, bring non-perishable goods. You have to go and get it. It costs you. So God has to bless you. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You are blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lastly, but not least, God has to bless you. Romans chapter 8 and 28. So that he can show forth with you. God has to, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God.
Those who are
called according to his purposes. God has to bless you so that he can show forth with you. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 1 to 13. Deuteronomy. Let me just read from verse. Check it out here. 28, verse 1 to 13. That's a long one. But let me read it. 28. 1 to 13. God wants to show forth with you. 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. God wants to show forth with you. He wants to set you high. Can you say that? God will set me high. Can you shout it again? God will set me high above all nations of the earth. Go ahead. I hope I don't read faster than the computer. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessings will come upon you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Can you shout a bigger amen?
Amen?
And they will also overtake you. Do you know what overtaking is? Overtaking, they come to you and they overtake you. That means they go ahead of you. And that wherever you go, because they are already ahead of you, you are going to find them. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Come on, may blessings overtake you today. In the name of Jesus. And that whichever office you go, you find blessings already. Whichever meeting you go, you find blessings already because they have already overtaken you. Am I talking to somebody in the church today? God wants to show forth with you. God has to bless you. He wants to show forth with you. They will overtake you. Amen. Have you ever been overtaken by blessings? That wherever you go, it is favor, goodness, and mercy, which has not just followed you, but overtaken you. Continue. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessing, because, let's go back, because, to finish. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, verse 3. You can go and read Deuteronomy chapter 28 at home. Blessed shall you be in the city. God wants to show forth with you. Blessed shall you be in the country. Wherever you go, you are blessed. In the city, when you are around Nairobi, the city of Nairobi, you are blessed. When you go to Muranga, hello, you are blessed. When you go to Molo, Kisumu, when you go to Dala, you are blessed. Even that witch doctor who looks people with the wrong eye and they become crazy, it will not happen to you. You are blessed. Can you shout a bigger amen? The witch doctor can look all he wants to look, but you still, I hear some people don't drive their cars because they're afraid of witches. Witches are under your feet, my friend. Can you hear me? Witches are under your feet. How small is your God to be threatened by a small witch who never even went to school? Please. A witch who cannot even help himself. Look at how he lives. Look at his life. One time I was doing a crusade in Eldoret, Kitale. In Kitale, the crusade was so powerful. God was doing miracles upon miracles in that Kitale line, Saba in Kitale. Witches gathered around my room at night. They were running around. I woke up, saw them running around, some of them naked. I just looked at the porn they were showing me for free. Woke up, went to the crusade the next day, and I still did the crusade, and God did mighty works. Don't be worried about these witches. You are blessed. Amen. Let me read just two or three. This is a very, I love Deuteronomy. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Before I move on, can I prophesy this is your portion in Jesus' name? Amen. Can I prophesy this is your portion in Jesus' name? Amen. You will not die by a car accident. You will not die by witches. You will not die by what kills others. Can you shout a bigger amen if that is you? Amen. Let's move on. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That means your children, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Some of you need to think of getting flocks. Think of getting cattle. Hey, you people in the city. Fikiria kununua ng'ombe. Itabarikiwa. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's go ahead. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. God knows you have enemies. God knows there are people who tolerate you. He knows that enemies will always be around. But he says he's going to be in charge. He's going to be in charge. I'm talking to somebody who has got enemies right here. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated because before your face. They'll be defeated. You will see it with your eyes. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. God wants to bless you so he can show forth with you. God wants to show forth. He wants to boast with you. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. I want to finish with that. God has to prosper you so that people can see you belong to him. Somebody should have clapped there. People must see you and envy your God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People must see you and want your God. People must see you and ask you, where do you go to church? Not see you and you try to tell them about your God and say, hey, boss, if that is your God, me, I don't want. A beggar who was in the streets opened up his mouth to preach to a rich man who was passing by. The rich man looked at the beggar who was trying to preach to him and told him, please, let your God first bless you before he blesses me. I hope that is not your story. God wants to show forth with you. Rise up on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, because you take delight in the prosperity of your servants. Bless us, O God. Prosper us, O God. That, Lord, we may establish your covenant. And that, Lord Jesus Christ, we may do and be the true religion that you have described, unblemished, that brings glory to you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray that, Lord, somebody will grab it and run with it and live it and experience it. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody say amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.